Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we are taking your questions live right here today on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As Randy just mentioned, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, as always, equip.org, and via the mailbox, 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. I want to mention something I read in the National Review. It has to do with the troubling connections between Scientology and the Nation of Islam, an article written by Bethany Mandel. And in that article, she points out that over the last few years, Nation of Islam leader Minister Louis Farrakhan has actually been encouraging his members to read L. Ron Hubbard's book, Dianetics, and to get enough training in Scientology to accede to the rank of an auditor. And as the article goes on to say, the leaders of the Nation of Islam are active members of Scientology, and they are pocketing commissions in exchange for urging Nation of Islam members to practice Scientology alongside Islam. And in turn, the Nation of Islam has access to the power that is wielded by Scientology, including its vast real estate holdings and infrastructure. If you've ever been in Clearwater, Florida, you would have seen it with your own eyes. They use these real estate holdings, they use the infrastructure, they use their resources to attack defectors as well as opponents. The coming of these two organizations together is troubling, and they are, of course, powerful in their own individual ways, but the fact that they're now commingling one with another should send a chill down our collective spines. So the question that this article raises is, what is Scientology? I've written about that in the complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, but it is a church, so-called, founded back in the 1950s by a science fiction author. His name was L. Ron Hubbard. And it teaches that humans are immortal thetans, thetans that are trapped in a physical universe of their own mental construction. Humans are not sinners in need of a savior, but rather immortal beings who can overcome the accumulation of trillions of years of painful subconscious memories through, well, through the pseudo-psychology of auditing Scientology style. They hold that apart from auditing, a continuous cycle of reincarnation awaits each one of us. In my Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, I actually developed an acronym so you can remember Scientology's philosophy, which leaves a trail of tears, and the acronym is TEARS. I talk about the thetans, the engrams, the auditing, reincarnation, and their view of a supreme being who is a god remarkably like the Brahman of Hinduism. As for the Nation of Islam, it was founded by Wallace Fard, but it's been under control of Louis Farrakhan since 1978. It is an organization that is blatantly anti-Semitic. It is racist in the extreme, anti-white, going so far as saying that whites were grafted into existence 7,000 years ago by a scientist who created this white beast. Farrakhan says that Hitler is an exception. He is considered to be a great man, and they call the Holocaust a hoax. Farrakhan has praised the terrorist Muammar Gaddafi, who I write about in my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, his Million Man March, inspired by a vision that he was being swept up in a UFO, of course, impacted the lives of millions of people. He has described Jews as bloodsuckers and Judaism as a gutter religion. Christianity is the religion of the white man. Jesus is not God, a denial of the afterlife, and has gone so far as deifying Wallace Fard. So both of these organizations are extraordinarily troubling, and the fact that they're now commingling one with another, as indicated in the article, again, ought to give all of us pause. This is a very, very dangerous cocktail. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to Doug. He's listening in Tennessee, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Doug.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I have a question for you. A friend of mine was asking me, did I think that Judas was forgiven when he betrayed Christ? And my first answer was no, but I'm having trouble finding verses to back that up.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you look at Matthew 26, Jesus said that the Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born. And so I think the implication of that, Jesus knowing that Judas was a devil, in fact calling Judas a devil, would be that Judas did not seek forgiveness, but rather was caught in a trap. In other words, a trap of his own making. He had betrayed the Son of God, and he had the 30 pieces of silver. He did not want the consequences of his sin any more than Cain wanted the consequences of murdering Abel. And I think that both of them are in the same boat in terms of the implications of Scripture. Now, obviously, no one is beyond the reach of God, but the implication of Scripture is that Judas was not forgiven because he did not seek forgiveness.
Okay. That was kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah, so... a good example of testing all things in light of Scripture, holding fast to that which is good. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, although I do want to go to a Facebook question by Celie Crandall. I thought it was an interesting question. I just looked at it. It is a question as to whether God buried Moses. And then the follow-up question by Celie is, that why an angel fought the devil over his body? And then a third part of the question is, oh my goodness, I'm too old for this. Do you believe he is one of the two witnesses that will stand with Jesus at the end times? Well, that is a complex question. In terms of whether or not God buried Moses, well, yes. If you look in Scripture, you'll find Deuteronomy 34 telling us that God buried Moses in a valley in the land of Moab. But by what means, the Bible simply does not clue us in. According to tradition, what happened is the Lord used agency, in this case, Michael, the archangel who did the burying. But again, the only kind of tradition that we have in this regard is apocryphal tradition. We don't have any reliable tradition. So there's assumption here. With respect to tradition, we don't know for sure. With respect to why an angel fought the devil over the body of Moses, well, the point in Jude 9, which this, of course, is a reference to, is that in resisting the evil one, we do not rely on our own resources, but rather we ought to be relying on the word of God. And what you have here in Jude 9 is a greater to lesser argument. In other words, if an archangel resists condemning the devil, how much more should a mere mortal man refrain from reviling a celestial being? And the third part of that question is Moses, one of the two witnesses who will stand with Jesus at the end of time. I would say yes and no. The two witnesses in Revelation 11 are a reference to both the quintessential prophet and the quintessential lawgiver, Moses and Elijah, but only in a metaphorical sense. In other words, Old Testament jurisprudence mandated at least two witnesses to convict someone of a crime. And in this case, in the narrative of the book of Revelation, the two witnesses accuse Israel of apostasy. And in light of biblical imagery, the two witnesses are revealed not as two literal beings or two literal people, such as a reincarnation of Moses and Elijah, but rather as a literary character in John's apocalyptic narrative. So Moses and Elijah both are literary characters in the narrative, and they represent the entire line of Hebrew prophets in testifying against Israel and warning of soon coming judgment of God on Jerusalem. So again, it's important to read Scripture in light of Scripture, recognizing that Revelation is an apocalypse. Apocalypse not only in the sense of an unfolding, but in the sense of a linguistic matrix that has its being, its rooting, its grounding in the rest of Scripture. So you always have to have the music of the Old Testament coursing through your mind, and if you do have that music coursing through your mind, then in reading Scripture in light of Scripture, I think you come to the conclusion that I just communicated. Now, I've written about this in some detail in a book called The Apocalypse Code, Find Out What the Bible Really Says About the End Times and Why It Matters Today. That book available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. By the way, in line with this, there's an SDA ad in USA Today about prophetic mystery being unveiled. In other words, the ad purports to tell us the mystery of who the Antichrist is. And if you read the full text of the ad, it notes that the Protestant reformers ranging from Martin Luther to John Calvin, from John Knox to the Westminster Confession, they all agree in harmony with SDA prophet Ellen G. White that the Roman pontiff is the beastly Antichrist of Revelation 13, the mother of harlots, and of the abominations of the earth, described in Revelation chapter 17. This, of course, is nothing new. Tim LaHaye, who was perhaps the most famous evangelical on the planet while he was alive, he said he had studied biblical prophecy for more than 50 years, and he was certain that the mother of prostitutes and the abominations of the earth is none other than the Roman Catholic Church of the 21st century. Yeah, they used all kinds of monikers to describe the Roman Catholic Church: pseudo-Christian, false religion, mother of idolatry, a form of Babylonian mysticism that has infiltrated Christianity, and that after the rapture, their leaders, the Roman Catholic leaders, will bring all the Babylonian-based religions together with one global idolatrous religion. And, of course, like LaHaye, hundreds of prophecy experts identify the great prostitute of Revelation as the contemporary Roman Catholic Church. But if you really want the answer to who the Antichrist is, you shouldn't fall for such sophistry and script torture. All you have to do is read the scripture where the Apostle John exposed the identity of Antichrist when he wrote, "Who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is Antichrist." Many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the Antichrist. John goes on to teach that all who deny the incarnation, all who deny the deity of Jesus Christ, are instances of Antichrist. And as such, the term refers not to the apostasy alone of individuals, but to the apostasy of institutions and ideologies as well. And in that sense, institutions such as modern-day cults, and this ad is written by a very cultic group, those could be rightly called Antichrist. And I think the horror of it all is that they fail to read the scripture in the sense in which it is intended. And they're leading not only their own devotees astray, but all those that read ads in USA Today that tempt you with titillations as opposed to truth. We'll be right back with more Answers 888-ASK-HANK.
In the DVD titled C.S. Lewis On Stage, The Most Reluctant Convert, featuring the brilliant acting of Max McLean, discover how the Hound of Heaven pursued Lewis relentlessly until he finally gave in, only to become the most influential Christian writer of the 20th century. To receive your copy of the DVD C.S. Lewis On Stage, The Most Reluctant Convert, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Hank Unplugged is a new podcast brought to you by the Christian Research Institute. For decades, millions of listeners at home and abroad have enjoyed the answers and insights of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, listeners can hear Hank Hanegraaff as he takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in free-flowing, stimulating discussions on critical issues with some of the brightest, most interesting people on the planet. Hank Unplugged is a podcast designed to range further and dive deeper into both perennial and contemporary issues of interest to thinking Christians. To join the conversation, subscribe to Hank Unplugged on iTunes, equip.org, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And make sure you're a part of the conversation. It's a new channel of quality content that serious kingdom change agents won't want to miss. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, Call 888-7000-CRI. Make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. If you were going into combat, what would be more important, the number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission, they're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard 24/7 through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his black leather-bound, silver-embossed Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And let's go back to the phone lines, take another call. 888-ASK-HANK, the number to dial. Stacy next in Jacksonville, Florida. Listening at Sirius XM 131. Hi, Stacy.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good. Nice to talk to you.
I'm doing well. I just have kind of like a Well, first I have a comment. I heard the gentleman call in a few minutes ago asking the question about Judas, and it really brought something to remembrance. I know that the TV stations had that blasphemy television program regarding the Jesus Christ Superstar, and it didn't, when I kind of seen a clip of it on YouTube, I didn't feel comfortable at all with that. And I read a lot of Apocrypha and the lost books of the Bible and different things that I feel are truth, even though they're not in the Bible. And I have this little section, which is going to lead to my question, but it says in one of the things that I just read as early as yesterday, that Judas, for betraying the Lord, that the angel came down headlong and his mouth was filled with 30 serpents, which were personifications for every evil vice and wicked evilness, and it destroyed him. And he was cast into the outer darkness, and none shall inquire concerning him anymore. And he will be in obliviation that will be covered in darkness forever. So my question is, do you believe that a lot of these other books can bring the saints who already know the Bible into further truths of knowledge, and that in this last day that we live in, that a lot of these books were meant for this generation to know the full truth in a more deeper knowledge than what the Bible gives to us on certain things?
Well, a couple of things I would say. First of all, I think your assumption at the very beginning of the prologue to your question is a correct assumption, in that all truth is God's truth, which means that you can find truth in books like The Assumption of Moses or the Book of Enoch, even though they're not inspired literature. But that does not mean that they do not contain truths. Now, there is some validation, for example, with respect to the Book of Enoch, because it is quoted by Jude. And again, Jude's quotation, where he says, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about the men that Jude was talking about in his epistle, and then goes on to say that the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones and so forth. The quotation there comes from the Book of Enoch. He's quoting Enoch, and this is again an affirmation of what you said. All truth is God's truth. However, saying that does not in any way assume that this has the same status or validity as a canonical book would have. The Assumption of Moses has not survived to this day, but there are quotations from it that have survived, because it was a first century book that has been referenced by the church fathers like Clement and Origen. Same thing is true with the Book of Enoch, as I just mentioned. It is referenced in the Bible itself. So, all truth is God's truth. But do I think that these books are particularly helpful today? I think that most Christians aren't even familiar enough with the biblical text, let alone looking at books that are, that are at best questionable.
I agree with you there. I have been in studying, and I believe the Lord has led me into further truths, but I can tell from a lot of comments and a lot of things that a lot of Christians don't even have the basics yet of the Bible. And I have found that they'll read the same Bible verses and not come into a full truth after 10 or 15 or 20 years. And I believe a lot of these books, were written to shed a full, I believe everything has been written down on tablets and in heaven and earth. And I believe that its knowledge is there to get, but I believe Christians can't come into the basics of obedience with the Bible or to even to go in advance in further truth. They're not ready. And it's upsetting because a lot of the things now, like such as TV, the radios, all the distractions that are here, and they don't give their time over to the full truths and knowledge that they could possibly have. And I believe those things and those things written by the ancients that went way before us, oh, what a story they tell. Oh, what a story. And all the things in the books that I've read do back up the Bible, and they don't contradict at all.
And that's the great thing. I mean, you have to test everything in light of Scripture, hold fast to that, which is good.
So it just saddens me when, you know, some of the saints, they don't even get an opportunity to come into the full knowledge that God's given to us, I believe.
Well, Stacy, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Bless you. And, again, I mentioned just before the break a full-page ad that ran in USA Today. There was another one, as if one full-page ad was not enough, and that was one that said that the mark of the beast is not what you think it is. Now, this in tandem with Stacy's call is a great example of how people can get sucked into false ideas, false religions, because they simply don't know how to test all things in light of Scripture, hold fast to the good. So here this SDA, this Seventh-day Adventist offshoot, says, and I quote from this full-page ad, this is a second full-page ad, "The Pope will be elevated to a position of global dominance, and all who refuse to worship by the false papal Gregorian calendar will be killed." And let me just insert a comment here before I go on with the text itself. Easter in the Roman Catholic tradition and the Protestant tradition is celebrated in accord with the Gregorian calendar. So I suppose all Protestants and all Catholics are being implicated by this SDA offshoot. But anyway, the Pope is going to be elevated to a position of global dominance, and all who refuse to worship by this false papal Gregorian calendar will be killed. They receive a mark on their foreheads or their hands, which is tantamount to the kiss of death. In order to live, you must receive the seal of Yahuwah and resist the mark of the papal beast. Well, that's a lot to swallow, a lot of poison, at least. So how do you receive the seal of Yahuwah? Well, by worshiping the Creator on His holy Sabbath, calculated by His calendar, and you got to do it very, very quickly, because your eternal life is at stake. So this Seventh-day Adventist offshoot is saying you got to receive the seal of Yahuwah, and you got to do it very, very quick, because if you don't get that seal very, very quickly, your eternal life hangs in the balance. Now, if you read Scripture properly, you will recognize that the forehead and the hands are Old Testament symbols. which means they have to read not only the New Testament, but the Old Testament as well. They're symbols of a person's belief and behavior. In other words, what you believe and what you do identifies you in terms of who you belong to. This cultic Seventh-day Adventist offshoot rejects the great evangelical church councils, the ecumenical church councils. They reject these councils by recasting God as Yahuwah and His Son as Yahushua and the Holy Spirit as not He but It. So again, this is a direct compromise of the great ecumenical church councils. And unlike the ancient church, believe it or not, they suppose that the earth itself is flat. Now, a quick comment on that. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to recognize that a lunar eclipse is not produced by a flat earth. The problem with this cult is that they do not understand the art and science of biblical interpretation, and they don't know how to read the book of nature either. Two very, very serious problems. We ought to do science well. We ought to do scripture well. And as for the notion that Sunday worship is the end time mark of the beast, there are clear biblical reasons that Christians worship on the first day of the week. I mean, I've recounted these reasons time and time again on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I'll do it one more time in simply saying that as a result of Christ's resurrection, we celebrate the rest we have through Christ who delivers us from sin and the grave. So there's an emphasis with respect to celebration. So if you're in Genesis, well, the people of God would have celebrated His work in creation. If you are part of the Exodus, you would be celebrating God's deliverance from oppression in Egypt. So it's a matter of perspective and emphasis. And, of course, the greatest emphasis that we can give is Christ's resurrection, and that's why we celebrate the rest we have through Christ on the first day of the week. You know, remember that the resurrection was remembered by the early Christian church, and they did so intentionally by changing the day of worship from last to first. And within weeks, thousands and thousands of Jews willingly gave up a theological tradition that had given them their national identity. And I would say that not only God provided the early church with a new pattern of worship through the resurrection of Jesus Christ on the first day of the week, as well as the Holy Spirit's descent on Pentecost Sunday. But for Christians, there's a much more significant point, and that is the dangerous snare that they can be entangled in. The snare which is a failure to recognize that Jesus is the substance that fulfills the symbol of the Sabbath. So the Sabbath was a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality is found in Christ. So again, these ads, full-page ads, very, very costly, running in USA Today. People kind of read these things. If they're not grounded biblically, some of them start falling for these things. And they end up reading all of the, I couldn't obviously on this show read all of the text, but you know, they don't know how to make heads or tails out of it. They think, well, maybe, and they get confused and ultimately compromised. And so it's important to know what you believe and why you believe it and be biblically literate. Know how to read the Bible for all it's worth. We'll be right back with a quote of the day and more answers to your questions. 888-ASK-HANK.
In The Lord of the Rings, Tolkien's character Faramir voices the thoughts of countless soldiers throughout history. War must be, while we defend our lives against a destroyer who would devour all. But I do not love the bright sword for its sharpness, nor the arrow for its swiftness, nor the warrior for his glory. I love only that which they defend. If you too love what together we defend, our faith, biblical truth, and our freedoms, become a member of CRI's support team today by calling 888-7000-CRI. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his black leather-bound, silver-embossed Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. That's 888-7000-CRI or simply visit our website at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after the break. The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank Unplugged is a new podcast brought to you by the Christian Research Institute. For decades, millions of listeners at home and abroad have enjoyed the answers and insights of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, listeners can hear Hank Hanegraaff as he takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in free-flowing, stimulating discussions on critical issues with some of the brightest, most interesting people on the planet. Hank Unplugged is a podcast designed to range further and dive deeper into both perennial and contemporary issues of interest to thinking Christians. To join the conversation, subscribe to Hank Unplugged on iTunes, equip.org, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. And make sure you're a part of the conversation. It's a new channel of quality content that serious kingdom change agents won't want to miss. Using C.S. Lewis's own words, award-winning actor Max McLean inhabits Lewis to take us on his rigorous journey from hard-boiled atheist to the most reluctant convert in all England. To receive the DVD C.S. Lewis On Stage, The Most Reluctant Convert, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. To recapitulate, we have great offers available. C.S. Lewis On Stage, The Most Reluctant Convert, acted by Max McLean as C.S. Lewis. It is highly entertaining. It is hugely moving. And I've mentioned this before, but when I saw this live presentation in Charlotte when Max came to town, I was so moved that I said to my son, Paul Stephen, who was with me at the time, if Max McLean had never done anything else in his life, this one performance would make his life worthwhile. I thought it was that strong, that moving, that impactful. And it's such a great apologetics tool because I saw people in the audience who no doubt were not believers, completely mesmerized by the reasoning used by Max as he was playing C.S. Lewis. It is absolutely fantastic, as C.S. Lewis gives you his trek first from atheism to theism, and then from theism to a relationship with the living Lord of the universe, Jesus Christ. So again, this DVD is a must, available for those who support the ministry. The quote of the day comes from The Weight of Glory, a book also available all this month for those who support the ministry. Check it out on the web, equip.org. And the quote is as follows. Never in war or peace commit your virtue or your happiness to the future. Happy work is best done by the man who takes his long-term plans somewhat lightly and works from moment to moment as to the Lord. It is only our daily bread that we are encouraged to ask for. The present is the only time in which any duty can be done or any grace received. Think about that. So often we say, you know what? When I have a lot of money, then I'm going to start giving to the Lord. Or when I have accomplished this in the educational arena, then I'll start serving the Lord. But today is the day in which you ought to serve the Lord. And if you're not faithful in a little, trust me, you're not going to be faithful in a lot. So today is the day. We're asking people to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. You can't affect what happened yesterday, and who knows what you can do about tomorrow, but today you can make a difference. You know, the Gaithers saying, yesterday is gone, tomorrow may never come, but we have this moment today. And I think about a moment in history where you have Old Testament tithing that prepared God's people to become hilarious givers, givers that produced a temple of unparalleled splendor. This tithing transformed, think about this, Israelites who had previously pined for the pleasures and protection of pagan Egypt more than for the one who had miraculously parted the Red Sea, transformed these Israelites into joyful givers. And the Bible chronicles the prayers of David as he thanks God for the very privilege of being able to give to the work of the Lord. So it wasn't, well, this is a duty, it's an obligation. No, it's a privilege. Where David says, but who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we've only given you what comes from your hand. And then David says, and now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. And in light of that, there's no telling what could be accomplished in our generation if we too, like those Israelites that gave towards a temple of unparalleled splendor, if we too, like them, could catch the joy of contagious giving, if we did like our forefathers who really were givers because they founded great centers of Christian education, they established countless hospitals, they funded myriad relief organizations, if we did what they did, our generation might yet leave an indelible mark on today's world. So give as you have been given. Give with a grateful heart. Don't wait for tomorrow. You can stand shoulder to shoulder with us today in the battle for life and truth by simply giving in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or talk to one of our resource consultants by picking up the phone and dialing 888-7000. And the letter is CRI. I was also struck by some testimonies that I looked at today, one by Albert, who said, I miss you, Hank. Get back on the radio in Cleveland, Ohio. I read all your books all the time. My kids say I'm a hanker. I've been called Hinker before. Look, I wish we could get back on the radio in Cleveland, Ohio, and a lot of other places, but it takes resources. The gospel's free. Someone has to put in the plumbing. Michelle Chambers in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, she says, you are so very special. You talked to me when I was dying inside. I lost my only child, my son. You called me back after the show. God is with you. There is no doubt. Thank you for your loving heart. You are simply the best. You were born for this. Well, I appreciate the compliments, Michelle, but your thanks goes not to me, but to all of those who make this ministry an ongoing reality in the lives of so many. I'm humbled by your comments and very grateful for them, but I express my gratitude to all of those that make this broadcast an ongoing possibility for people all across the globe. And there's so many ways in which you can listen to the broadcast. We have an app that you can download on the web at equip.org. You can listen to us 24/7 if you want. You can read articles in the Christian Research Journal. You can also listen to us on the web at equip.org. And remember, I not only do a broadcast, but now I do a podcast as well. It's called the Hank Unplugged Podcast. Check that out on the web at equip.org or wherever you consume your favorite podcasts. Again, it's called Hank Unplugged, and we have some 50 editions or so that you can listen to. They're all archived, and they have touched the lives of people as I interview or have a conversation, I should say, with some of the most interesting, informative, and inspirational people on the planet. The podcast, again, is called Hank Unplugged. Check it out at equip.org or on iTunes. A Facebook question that I've been wanting to take and never really got to by Teresa, who asked, does the Bible say people will live to be 100 years old during the millennium? And I thought, again, this is sort of a complex question because you got to break it down and answer that question in a number of ways. First of all, there is a passage in Scripture that appears to say this, but it refers not to a semi-golden thousand-year epoch of time after the second coming of Jesus Christ, and nor to a literal 100 years. The passage is found in Isaiah 65, and it says something to the effect that never again will there be in it an infant who lives, well, only lives a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. The one who dies at 100 will be thought a mere child, and the one who fails to reach 100 will be considered cursed. This, again, is poetic language. It's figurative language. This passage was inaugurated in Christ and will ultimately be fulfilled at the consummation of all things. You know, where we see Isaiah saying, see, I will create, and he's speaking for the Lord, a new heaven and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind, but be glad and forever rejoice in what I will create, for I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and his people to be a joy. And John in Revelation alludes to this very thing when he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth had passed away and there's no longer any sea. Well, at any rate, Isaiah is using, as I mentioned, figurative language that his hearers can relate to. In other words, the inhabitants of the new earth will live lives of inexpressible longevity. There will be no infant mortality. People will not die prematurely, as unfortunately we do now, but as verse 18 of that same passage puts it, they will live forever. And as far as a millennium goes, well, Jesus spoke of the resurrection of the dead, but he did not so much as hint at the notion of a thousand-year semi-golden age. Instead, he said, do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be eternally condemned. The point here is that we have to read Scripture in the sense in which it is intended. Back to the phone lines, David, Tacoma, Washington, KCIS. Hi, David.
Hey, Hank, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. I had a quick question for you, Hank. I've been listening to some messages by Dr. Stanley, and on these particular messages, he's been addressing faith and when we pray. And I don't want to put words in his mouth, but when we pray, you know, we use our faith and we believe God. How do we know when it's God's perfect will, if we're praying about a situation, about a move or whatever it is in life, that do we believe God or do we seek out if it's his will, or how does that work?
Well, first of all, we trust God, because what is faith? Faith is a channel of living trust between a human being and their God, and faith, therefore, is only as good as the object in whom it is placed. If we put our faith in our own faith, it's ill-placed faith. If we put our faith in God, it is well-positioned faith, because God is always reliable. We also see that God moves through people, through circumstances. He moves through our prayers, so we pray. I'm praying about a particular matter at present. I prayed about this matter before I got on the air today. When I pray about this matter, I ask the Lord, but I always append my request by saying, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And the reason I do that, first of all, because it's biblical, but secondly, I just see a snapshot in time. So what I think is best for me may not be best for me. Maybe God has a better answer. So trust the Lord. Don't trust your own resources. That's the real point. And God directs a moving ship. I mean, God moves through people and through circumstances. But remember, prayer is firing the winning shot. We are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions are answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. The resources I talk about on the show, you can find on the web at equip.org. And once again, my profound gratitude to those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. What you do today, this moment, makes a difference, not just for this moment, for the moments to come, and ultimately for all eternity. So long for now.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We pray that today's program has deepened your understanding of Scripture and helped you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI. Make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org.